So we saw with Paul that he wanted to go to Asia Minor. You see Asia here. And on top of that is Bithynia. And both times the Holy Spirit said to him, no, don't go there. And so eventually from, he went through Asia or to the top of Asia. There's a place called Mysia. Went over there, over the sea to Philippi. He planted a church at Philippi. We talked about that. The church it was very joyful. Despite persecutions, they were very, very joyful. From Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. We spoke about that the last time. And to these churches, he wrote letters. He wrote the letter of the Philippians. He wrote two letters, Thessalonians. And we sort of looked at the heart of those letters. And on this map is not even the church we're going to talk about this morning, which is Berea. And from Berea, I went to Athens, here at the bottom. Something that happened in Thessalonica, and maybe that's the reason the Holy Spirit said to Paul, don't go to Asia. Although we don't ask questions, when the Holy Spirit said don't go, we don't go. We don't try and figure it out. But if we have to give a reason, there was a lady that was selling purple, Lydia. Lydia became such a strong evangelist. And Lydia and Luke, at the time Luke was part of this party. It was Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke. But Luke stayed behind in Philippi. And from Philippi and Thessalonica, we see the word spreading into Asia Minor. And we're going to have a look at that verse again now. So maybe that's the reason why the Holy Spirit said no, because he didn't want Paul to go and evangelize up there. So there's also an important thing, is that we are part of a body. Not one person does everything. We all have a job to do in the body of Christ. So this morning we're going to look, so that's just a little bit of the geography. Danny, you should like that. It just gives you perspective. So on the right-hand side, that this is where Paul started from. Syria, there's Antioch. Can you see Antioch there? That's where the Holy Spirit said to Paul and Barnabas, go, and they went on their first missionary journey. And they went from there to Cyprus. From there they went up into Pamphylia. This is a Roman province, Galatia, the letter Galatians. There was churches planted in the south of Galatia. North of Galatia is very pastoral or farmland, like there next to the Lesotho. A lot of farmland, so there wasn't churches planted there, but there was disciples there. So we have looked at that. So you see the journey with the Holy Spirit, with Paul, from Syria all the way. He's going to the heart of the empire, which is Rome. He's on his way to Rome, which was the heart of the empire, and that is where the Lord wants him. From Rome, you see Italy here on the left-hand side. So we haven't got Rome on there, but that's where the impact of the gospel will eventually come from Rome into the rest of the world. Okay, so let's start. So this morning we're going to speak about the authority of the word. We are just bombarded by so many voices nowadays, and every voice is a voice of authority, whether it's the government voice, whether it's China, whether it's America, Europe, the European Union, United Nations. Everyone's got an authority. So we want to have a look at the authority of the word. Is the word, we keep on quoting the word and speaking from the word, is the word the highest authority, and why is it the highest authority? Students ask us these questions. Why should we listen to the word? What about the Quran? Isn't it on the same? So a lot of the scripture of the Bible is also in the Quran, because they've got the same forefather, Abraham. So let's have a look at this small church, Berea, that was planted. It was probably the only church where Paul and his team didn't have any persecution. Acts 17, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Another word for the word. What scriptures did they have? They had the Old Testament. They had the prophets, Psalms, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, we call it, the books that Moses wrote. Minor prophets, major prophets, they had all those books of the Old Testament. That's the scriptures he's talking about. Explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. Looks like a simple statement, but many gave up their lives because they said this. Jesus is the Christ. The Savior the Jews was expecting was a king to save them from the Roman Empire. And Jesus was a servant king. He wasn't a military king that's going to take over the Roman Empire. He was a servant king. 1 Thessalonians 6 verse 8. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction. You received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became an example. Look how powerful this word was. You became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Even to Asia Minor, the areas that the Holy Spirit didn't want Paul to go into. You can see from this church, Thessalonica, the word went everywhere. So we're going to focus on that, the word. Philippians 1:14, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And this will be our first point, is the word of life. Remember when Peter was in prison, and there was a major through the night prayer meeting going on in John Mark's house, from where we have the Gospel of Mark. And the angels came, I think I've got the scripture here, Acts 5 verse 19 to 20, but during the night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So the Bible, the words that we speak, is words of life. And we're going to have a look, what life is that? So this is Jesus that is speaking. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. Picture containers coming out of your mouth. Packages full of life, full of spirit. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus was saying to them, you have to eat my body, you have to drink my blood. And they were looking at this in the natural and saying, there's no ways we can do that. And a lot of disciples left him. He said, if you can't do this, and he was talking about his crucifixion and his resurrection, and that we need to be partakers of that. And that is what we do when we break the bread and drink the wine, is we are partakers of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what they asked. When Jesus asked them, don't you also want to go? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There the life is specified. The Greek talks about Zoe. So eternal quality of life. Death cannot be above this life. We saw it with Lazarus. It was 3-4 days he was dead. When Jesus came there and they said, what can you do now? He says, don't you understand? I am the resurrection and the life. And he said to Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out, still bound in his funeral wrappings. And this is eternal life, that they know you. Jesus qualifies eternal life here, that they know you, Father, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What is eternal life? To know God, to know Jesus Christ. In that is eternal life. So we have this life that we live every day, broken up into 24 hours. We have the energy that go with it. We've got the time management and project management. There's a different life running next to this, that eternal quality of life. And that is what Jesus is talking about. He is praying to his Father. John 17, I've manifested your name to the people whom you give me. So we move on to the next point, which is the word is truth. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. There's that again. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. If we want to know what is truth, this question is asked quite a lot. Even Caesar asked this question to Jesus before he wanted to crucify him. Truth was standing in front of him. Truth was a person. Jesus Christ is truth. In our case that we are talking about the word is truth. We're going to look at that a little bit later on. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. This Psalm 119, I'm sure you guys know it. It's got more than 150 verses. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Every single verse talks about the Word of God, the commandments of God, the laws of God. How can a young man keep his way pure? I remember when I was about 14 years old, my dad gave me a Bible, and he wrote this in the beginning, the first page of the Bible. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. And so the word is truth. So now we come to the church of Berea. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, because there was persecution in Thessalonica. They wanted to kill him, so the brothers sent him away to the next town. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble meaning they were more receptive. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. We think about this church in Berea, we think of two things. They were ready to receive the word, and then they went and examined the scriptures. That's what we need to do. When we receive the word, go and examine the scriptures and see if it is true. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea. But Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens. And after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Isn't it amazing, like even now at university in Free State, that there will be no problem with idols. This was a city full of idols. Thessalonica, Philippi, The moment Jesus is preached, there's a problem. Not Muslim, not Hindu, not any other religion, not any idol, but when Jesus is preached, there's persecution. And this is what the word said. Jesus said, you will be persecuted. I was persecuted as the Son of Man. My followers will also be persecuted. We mustn't think it's strange when it happens. We must be joyful in it. Okay, so we're going to look. So we have an important concept that we have the living word, which is Jesus. But then we also have a Bible, a physical Bible. How do these two marry? How does the living Jesus, the living word, and the Bible, how do they come together? How do they marry? Let's have a look at the living word. Jesus Christ, God's living word, or incarnate word. John 1. I love this. John 1 and 1 John 1 is beautiful scriptures. In the beginning was the word. So where was the word? It wasn't written later on. It was there before time began. The word was already. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. You sense the authority of that. The word is outside this world. It's not determined by YouTube or any voice on this earth. It's outside our sphere of time and place. The word was with God and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made. So now it switches from the word to Jesus Christ. The word and Jesus is the same. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, Jesus Christ, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you see the similarity between the word and Jesus Christ, and how he uses it in this text? And he keeps on doing that. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Remember Genesis 1? When there was chaos, the Holy Spirit brooded over the waters, and God came and said, let there be light. That word that God was speaking created and formed light. Light separated from darkness. Jesus was that light. That's what he's saying here. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. That's the incarnation. This light is now walking between the people. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's talking about us. We were not born. To be a son of God, it's not you were born by blood through your mother. You were born by the word of God. The incorruptible seed of the word of God came into our spirit man and made us alive. That's how we become a son. That son, there's a Greek name for it. That son is a son and daughter. You can use it either for only a son, or you can use it for son and daughter. The Greek name for this word son that he's using here. And the word became flesh, talking about Jesus. Jesus, the Word, became flesh. He became a man and dwelt between men, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. John has never seen Jesus up to this point. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law on the Mount Sinai, God gave it to Moses. What was the purpose of the law? The law showed towards Jesus. It's part of the Old Testament that I mentioned just now. The whole Old Testament, the prophets, the Psalms, everything showed to Jesus that is coming. Showed to his crucifixion, to his death and his resurrection. The New Testament looks backward to Jesus' crucifixion, to his death, to his resurrection. The New Testament and the apostles that were writing it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at that, that's our next point, speaks of how we should live now identifying with Christ. Also points to his second coming. So it looks backward, New Testament, but it also looks forward to his second coming. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Other translation will say the only Son who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. There it shows the authority again of the living Word. Jesus Christ being the living Word. We're going to move on now. Almost. We're going to move to the Bible. We're first looking at the living Word, then we're going to look at the written Word. 1 John 1 verse 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life. Is that word again? The Word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, Zoe life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us as Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, Old Testament. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Here we introduce the New Testament. Jesus walking in the Gospels, walking and talking, saying to the people, who is his Father? Who is God? He said, I don't say anything unless my Father tells me so. I don't do anything unless my Father show me what to do. So he came to demonstrate the Father. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's still doing it. The words that were spoken in Genesis 1 is still upholding the universe. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. After death, resurrection, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Do you think there's any higher authority than that? The Word of God is seated right next to God, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's move on to the written scripture. We've looked at the living Word. You understand that? Now we're going to look. It's the same. It's almost like the same, let's call it the same coin. Just two sides of a coin. Living Word, written Word. We have the Bible, which is the written Word. Before I go there, let me quickly read us a scripture. I think it's 2 Peter 1 verse 21. Are you guys still awake? I know it's the end of the year. Many things happening. Booker, there is space next to you if you want to lie down. You can still listen. 2 Peter 1. We talk about the written Word. This is so critical. We've got 66 books in the Bible. We all know that. If I'm not mistaken, 39 is Old Testament. And what is left? Okay, 27, New Testament. 39 verse 27, 66. Okay. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or inspired by the Holy Spirit. 66 books in the Bible, different authors, first 5 books Moses, last book John, lots of different authors, let me say a lot of different writers, one author. Holy Spirit is the author. He inspired every one of these men using their personalities. These were not perfect men. David was not a perfect man, and he wrote the Psalms, most of the Psalms. So we're talking about men, God using their personalities, like us using our personalities, but he inspires by the Holy Spirit, and this book came together. So this book was in Latin, preached for hundreds of years. Only the priests were allowed to read this book and understand this book, until Martin Luther came and said, no, I mean, translate this book into German, because this book, the Bible, is for every man. It's the only way that you can be justified is by faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So then it went to England. King James was a good king, and he translated this Bible into English. We know what the English did. They conquered most of the earth, became one big empire. In South Africa, it was David Livingstone that came here, part of the Diamond Rush, and then the Gold Rush, and then up into Zimbabwe or Rhodesia those days. But with that, going to New Zealand, Canada, Australia, lots of different islands, this English Bible went with him. And that's how the word started spreading across the world. Across the world. So, I was looking at this book, starting to read this book of R.C. Sproul, and I came across this, which is quite beautiful. The authority of the Bible is based on the fact that it is the written word of God. Because the Bible is the word of God, and because the God of the Bible is truth and speaks truthfully, the Bible's authority is linked to inerrancy, meaning there is no errors in the Bible. There was this big council in the 70s in Chicago where they looked at, is there errors in the Bible? Is the Bible contradicting itself? And I think they called it the Council of Inerrancy, or the Doctrine of Inerrancy. If the Bible is the Word of God, and if God is a God of truth, then the Bible must be inerrant, not merely in some of its parts, as some modern theologians are saying, but totally, as the Church for the most part has set down through the ages of history. So this book, as simple as it may seem, is the written word of God. Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father, is the living word. And these two go together. They come from the same source. They come from God the Father, inspired by the same source, by the Holy Spirit, empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So let's just recapture. So we spoke about the church in Berea. Spoke about, first was the words of life, which the angel came into the prison and said to Peter, go and stand in the temple and speak the words of this life. Spoke about the word is truth. Jesus said, your word is truth, Father. And then we spoke now about the written word of God, and we spoke about the living word of God. All understand that? Any questions? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for everything that we cannot even grasp that has gone into this Bible that is in front of us. Thank you, Father, that you have given us this tool to read daily. And with that, you've given us your Holy Spirit to keep on breathing these scriptures into our heart and into our life. May this word change our life daily and the life where we are, other people's lives, the worlds that we live in. May your word transform and turn it to you, Lord, because your heart is for people. Your heart is to turn people to you and that they come to a knowledge of who you are. You are eternal life, Father. Jesus Christ, you are eternal life. To know you is to know life. And we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you all for your patience. Yes, okay.
I have one question.
Shoot.
I don't know the scripture, but it was Jesus talking to God about his disciples, saying that I've given them your word and they have kept your word.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because obviously they can't keep the word perfectly, as in obey and not make a mistake. Does it mean that they have kept the written it down? What does that keep?
So I think the word is first of all light. So light came into this world, understanding came into this world. The light that came into the world is who is the Father and who is his Son. So when Jesus walked between the people, his main desire all the time was to show them the Father. There was a disconnect between people and God. And Jesus came to bridge that gap, turn down, he would pull down that curtain so that God could connect to people again. Mm-hmm. When Adam fell in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, from that time God's main purpose was to unite man back to him again. Man and woman back to him again. So the reason Jesus came was to bring that restoration. So the words that he brought was words of light, words of truth. It was, who is God the Father? It was people that didn't understand who's the Father. And he came to show them his Father. That's why he keeps on saying, I know you, Father. They don't know you. And I've come to show them how, who you are. So his whole life, not just his words, but his whole life was just to demonstrate his Father to the people. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that says what the message was that they kept, but I'm not 100% sure how they kept that. Just the knowledge of that?
It's the way they should live. So words isn't just words that come out of our mouth. Words is planted inside of us. It changes us.
Mm-hmm.
It causes us not just to do, but to be. And that power is what Jesus was trying to demonstrate to them by living it himself, by being the word to them. Not just acting, but also being. Being in that relationship with the Father, but also speaking the word and God confirming his word through signs and wonders.